Let's pray.
Faithful God, would you speak to us through the power of your mighty words? Would you touch our hearts? And would you change our lives through the power of your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I come fresh from 8:30 BCP traditional communion service down the parish church, where we had four children in the building, including a toddler who was kind of running up and down the rails for about half the service. It was wonderful. I mean, two of them were baptised last week. But it was quite a challenge kind of trying to say all the BCP words, for those of you who know them, with lots of with children and lots of noises. It was lovely. It was kind of a different feel to an early morning service, as it were. So by comparison, we're quite quiet and sort of calm here. But we'll see what we can do about that as we go through this talk. I wonder if you can recall an occasion where you tried something out for the very first time. Maybe a new skill, maybe a new language, maybe something. My sister, some years ago, she went travelling and went skydiving. She was quite afraid, but she simply had to jump and just let go. It was quite scary, but we all enjoyed afterwards watching the video of that moment. And it was pretty exhilarating, she said, once you'd done it. If you've ever watched a toddler taking their first steps, they're often haltering, tentative, a bit wobbly, and they usually end up falling over. But to walk alone without help, a little one ultimately needs to let go of their parents' hands, or they'll never do it. So I think here they're just trying, beginning to learn to walk. Letting go involves risk. It always does. And with the possibility that it might not work. The toddler may well take a tumble. When skydiving, there's always a possibility that that parachute might not open. I'm sure that thought entered my sister's mind as she stood on the threshold of the plane door. Some of us are perhaps more risk averse than others. Our son Ben loves to go scuba diving. I'm not too keen on the thought of it. It slightly scares me, really, but we're all different. I wonder how Jesus' disciples would fare in the risk stakes. Were they risk averse, or were they ready for anything? In the story that James read, Jesus walks on the water, the one that I'm sure you'll know very well, Peter, if we're honest, was absolutely terrified, scared out for his life. He thought he was going to sink. I can definitely identify with the sinking feeling. Let's get my picture up there. Yes. I recall as a seven-year-old standing on the pool side at a swimming lesson, being told to jump into the water, and I was afraid. And then the swimming instructor held out a long pole for me to grab hold of it. I was still afraid. Maybe I need a bit of counselling and prayer. My kind of childhood fears coming to the fore, but I can still see myself standing there. Jesus on the lake, he absolutely wowed his disciples, though they couldn't initially believe it. They really thought it couldn't be him, and thought he must be a ghost. They were terrified. What was going on? And then Peter has a conversation with Jesus, and he himself walked on the water, but as soon as he saw the wind, he panicked. He began to sink, calling out to Jesus, "Save me!" And that sinking feeling may also be a familiar one to many of us. Peter had left the comparative safety of the boat and started walking on the water. And yes, he would have known the joy and the freedom of experiencing God's power after taking an enormous risk. I couldn't give this talk this morning without a shameless reference to one of John Ortberg's books. You might have read this one. If you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. It is what it says it is. It's a really good book. I read it about 20 years ago. It's been around for quite a while. But it's a good read if you want to dig a bit deeper into this area and explore in more detail than we have time for this morning about taking risks in God's name. I will be sharing a little bit from the book
as we go on. And I'm going to share something straight away about Peter.
Thinking as he got out of the boat, I wonder what might have gone on inside Peter's mind. This is Peter. I can't believe it. Nobody thought I'd actually get out of the boat. I didn't think I'd do it myself. When I let go of the side, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. I was afraid I'd die. Yet now, I find myself actually doing what Jesus is doing. I don't know how it's working. I'm not walking any differently. Yet something, someone is holding me up. I think I'm beginning to understand now. It's true. He really is the one. I don't see how things can ever be the same after this. I don't see how I could ever settle for life in the boat again.
Are we able to get out of the boat, even by taking quite a risk in doing so? I'm going to suggest a number of things that will happen once we've got out of the safety of the boat, if we are ready to do so. And the first one is that we will be walking in faith. Walking in faith, that's really tough, because we don't know what's going to come. That's the very nature of faith. In Hebrews, it says faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We don't know the future. We cannot guarantee that everything is going to be okay. Many of you all know that my family have had a very rough and tough 2.5 years. We're still going through it with things that have happened that none of us could have foreseen. Circumstances we wouldn't have chosen. And yet we've had to walk in faith. And often in pain too. Not understanding what God's doing, but trusting that God knows. And that his plans are ultimately good and faithful. Walking in faith can be uncomfortable and, of course, involves risk, as it did for Peter. It will for all of us. Again, John Ortberg poses this question. Is there any challenge in your life right now that's large enough that you have no hope of doing it apart from God's help? And then he goes on to say, and if not, consider the possibility that you are seriously under-challenged. If you want to walk out of the water, or if you want to walk on the water, you have to be willing to get your feet wet first and then discover it's well worth the risk. And secondly, once we're out of the safety of the boat, we'll be focusing on Jesus. As we climb over the gunwale, our focus must be on Jesus. Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. I should have done a better picture, but you know what I mean. I was looking for a gaze, but that's what I could come up with. But by getting out of the boat, we've moved beyond that sinking feeling and towards Jesus himself. Someone once described prayer as simply sitting with Jesus. Can you sit with Jesus, focusing on him alone? Putting all other matters, no, important though they are, to one side and just spend time with him. John Ortberg again, I did say I was going to refer to him a bit. He said this, while Peter's mind was focused on Jesus, he was empowered to walk on the water. But when his focus was on the storm, his fear short-circuited his ability to receive God's saving, sustaining power. You see, hope got Peter out of the boat. Trust held him up. Fear sank him. So the question for all of us is, where is your focus? Is your focus on Jesus the Saviour, or is your focus on the storm of life, as it were? Jesus is our hope, and in keeping our focus on him, he will enable us to walk on the water. Third one, once we're out of the safety of the boat, we will be responding in worship. Peter wasn't in the boat alone. He was with some of the other disciples. And those disciples witnessed all that took place that day. And their response was to worship. In verse 33, it says, then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Wow, what a realization. In a similar way, when we encounter Jesus, when Jesus is our total focus, we bow down in worship. We may raise our hands in worship. We may gaze in worship. We may do other things in worship. And lastly, when we get out of the safety of the boat, we can be sharing our story. How often are you able to share your story of what God has done and is doing in your life? Are you bold enough to do this? I came back from New Wine, a Christian festival over in Kent this year. It's here next year in Bath and Wells, which is very exciting. But I came back from there a couple of weeks ago, had a wonderful time. And one of the high points for me was receiving healing prayer. And on returning home, I shared this with my hairdresser. I don't know what conversations you have in the hairdressers or the barbers, if you go to those kind of places. If you haven't got too much hair, you might not go there at all, but you get my point. Hairdressers usually ask their clients what they're doing at the weekend. What are you doing at the weekend? Where are you going on holiday? Those sort of conversations. Wherever we are, be it in the hairdressers, be it in the shops, wherever, can we share our story? Can we tell others that we have seen the Lord? That we've walked on the water in his strength and in his sustaining power? I'm sure many Christians are not sharing their stories, sadly. Are not telling others about Jesus. Sadly. Why wouldn't we want to share our story, no matter how big or small, for the sake of the gospel? Taking Jesus into a world that desperately needs God. See, when your toddler takes their first steps, we're rightly all over it. They can walk. There's photographs. We're thrilled. We want to tell everybody. We see it on social media, for those of us who do social media, telling everyone the latest achievement. If a toddler is doing what a toddler does, is worthy of sharing, surely how much more is it worth sharing what God does? If you're sitting in church today thinking you've nothing to share, can I leave you with this challenge, this final challenge? Could it be that it's because you're still sitting in the safety of the boat, unwilling to take the risk of dipping your toe into the water? I want to challenge us all to take a step and to see what God will do, because we worship and love a faithful God.